Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki. Raghupati Raghava ki. Ramnami Maha Mahotsav ki. So Hare Krishna everyone. It's very nice to be here with all of you. I'd like to begin by expressing my gratitude and appreciation to all of you for coming, taking time out of your busy schedules to be here to celebrate this auspicious occasion, the appearance of Lord Ram, such a wonderful and auspicious and glorious time to remember the Lord in such an important form, that the Lord came and gave his darshan. So I'd also like to thank the wonderful performers who just gave us that amazing drama. Nice drama, huh? I don't know if you could all see it, but you remember the part where Jatayu was like his wings severed by Ravan? If you were close, you could see that Ram was pouring tears from her eyes, wasn't it? It was so intense, so moving, wonderful. It was beyond acting. She was really feeling the love of Ram for Jatayu, so it was very, very nice. Okay, so we're going to chant Jai Radha Madhav. Is there anyone who's here for the very first time? Okay, anyone here for the second time? Third time? Okay. So we're all professionals. Okay, so you know Jai Radha Madhav, we don't need the words. Jai Radha Madhav Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhav Kunjabi Hari.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hey Radha, Madhava, Kanga Bihari. Chakshuramilitangena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavan Vishwari Vishabandhu Sute Devi Anamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Titana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Namo Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva's Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Jai Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan Ki Jai. So how many of you were heard of the class this morning? Anyone here? Okay. And who was here for the class in the afternoon? Anyone? Okay. And who's here for the class this evening? That was a trick. You were supposed to all raise your hands. Okay, so of course the Lord explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yogati Tatvataha Chaktva Deham Punar Janma Naitimam Eti So Arjuna. And the Lord promises that one who understands the nature of my appearance and activities within this world, that at the time of death, that person shall never take birth in this world again, but shall return to my supreme abode. Machchita magata prana bodhiyanta parasparam katayantis chamam nicham tushanticha ramanticha. That the devotees, they derive such pleasure and satisfaction from just coming together and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. What satisfaction, what contentment, what bliss to just absorb ourselves in the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. In the modern day, everyone is so enthusiastic and interested to watch TV and movies about the activities and pastimes of so many persons, but that inclination or that desire is coming from a natural longing within the heart of the living entity to hear about the glories of the Supreme Lord. It's actually coming from a place that is so natural and so full of contentment that when we just hear about the pastimes of the Lord, we could go on hearing and hearing. So much Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who he used to hear, he used to have Gadadhar Pandit read the Bhagavatam to him, and he would hear a whole chapter of the Bhagavatam, and then he would say, "Read it again." And he would read it all the way through again, and then he would say, "Read it again." And they would have him read it one more time, and then he would say, "Read it one more time." And he would just go on hearing the same pastime again and again. Just like this drama we just saw, that the children are just reenacting the pastime that probably most, if not all of us, know in full. But every time you see it, every time you hear it, it's so wonderful. And actually, the pastimes of the Lord, they should become so deeply enthralled within our being that when we see the pastime before us in the way that these young boys and girls were performing, that like that Mataji, that actually we should feel like that. We should feel like tears when we see Jatayu being killed. We should be just in such anxiety, so happy when we see Lord Ram. We should absorb ourselves so much in the pastimes that the ultimate conclusion is that when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the film starts to play within our mind of the Lord's pastimes. Because the Lord's name, the Lord's form, the Lord's qualities, and the Lord's Leela, his pastimes, are all non-different. And from the Nam comes the Rupa, comes the form. And from the form comes the Guna. And from the Guna comes the Leela, and the pastimes of the Lord. So like this, we should, in our day-to-day lives, be trying as much as possible to fill our ears with Katha of the Lord, with the speaking and talking of the Lord, with the chanting of the Lord's holy name, so that it enters into our ears and all of these unwanted things that are covering the mirror of the heart are removed. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava maha devagni nirvapanam. That this chanting of the Lord's holy names is the cleansing agent, cleansing the mirror of the heart. When we gaze into the mirror of the heart, we should see the perfected self reflecting back at us. Unfortunately, when we gaze into the mirror of the heart, oftentimes we find things there that are not so nice. We don't want them, but they're there. And there may be so many processes and methods for removing these unwanted things, but it's described that the chanting of the holy names of the Lord in this age of Kali, this Harinam Sankirtan, this is the supreme way to clear all of those unwanted things from our heart, so that we gaze into the mirror of the perfected self and we recognize the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. And in that state, we gaze into the hearts of others and we see beautiful fragments of the Supreme Lord manifest before us. Divine sparks of the energy of God. We see the Lord's parts and parcels manifest before us. And in that way we begin to transcend the sectarianism and the prejudices of this world, and we begin to relate to one another on a purely spiritual platform. This is the perfection of life, the perfection of yoga. So in this age of Kali, the process for perfection is Harinam Sankirtan. And I thought it would be nice to relate this process of chanting in the Yuga Dharma to the pastime of Lord Ram. Specifically, in connection to the verse, which is verse 3 of the Shikshastakam that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for us, which is Trinadapi Sunichena Torapi Suhishnuna Amanina Manidena. And then you can Kirtanaya Sadahari. So if we want to chant Kirtanaya Sadahari, if we want to chant non-stop, we have to develop the qualities that precede the final verse, the final line of this verse. And Lord Ram, he was also the personification of these qualities. Even though he was a great king and an amazing warrior, but still he was Trinadapi Sunichena, Torapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manidena. What does that mean? It means more humble than straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. So this is who Lord Ram is. He possesses all of these qualities because he is Bhagawan, and he possesses all the qualities in full. There are numerous lessons that can be learned from the Ramayana, numerous lessons that can be repeated in this pastime, and we could speak for hours and hours and hours, if not days, on this amazing Leela of Lord Ramchandra. But to understand how these qualities can manifest, Lord Ram has given us a few examples which I would like to share with you, if that's okay with you. Is that okay? Because it's very important for us to understand how to develop and manifest these qualities. Recently, in speaking with different persons who are just freshly coming to Krishna consciousness, it seems that people are looking for something practical. Some spiritual practice that can be practically applied. Not that the only way you can achieve spiritual perfection is by hiding in a cave or running away from the world, but some way that you can actually be spiritually perfected while still acting within the world. The essence of the Bhagavad Gita is that it was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna, who was a warrior. He wasn't a sannyasi, he wasn't a renunciant. He was a family man who was actually a warrior. And Lord Ram is the personification of the Lord, who is the perfect king. He's the perfect leader. He's also a family man. He has so many duties and responsibilities. Yet, he imbibes the qualities and the nature of a perfected person. Now you can say, of course, Lord Ram is God, and that's good for him. But for me, well, it's not possible. And that's an easy cop-out. The point is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us the holy name, and he gave it freely to everyone. So any of us can chant the holy names. But the prerequisite that he gave is just, if you want to chant all the time, which is what we should be wanting to do. We should be wanting, like Rupa Goswami described, We should want to have thousands of mouths so that we can chant the holy name. One mouth is not enough. I want thousands of mouths just chanting and chanting and chanting. And then I want thousands of ears just to hear this chanting. That's how much we should be wanting to chant the holy names. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes Chanada Pisuni Chena. One should be more humble than straw on the street. Now, how is a king or a prince, let's start at the beginning, how is a prince meant to be humble like straw in the street? Right? I mean, he's got everything. The prince, so much wealth, beautiful house, you know, whatever he wants, so much opulence and power. Humility is not something that is usually in direct relationship with someone of such stature. But we can understand from the pastime of Sri Ramchandra, so everyone can move forward just a little bit, that if we know the pastime, and I'm sure that most of you do, is there anyone who doesn't know the pastime of Lord Ram? Okay. So, it's important to note that this pastime of Ramayana, it begins in a way that is very instructive for all of us. That the whole drama begins with a conversation between a great woman and her maidservant. And it begins and starts from a place of self-interest, a place of fear of loss of what I want. It begins with a conversation between Mantara and Kaikeyi. And what is this conversation? The conversation is that Mantara, the hunchback maidservant of Kaikeyi, who is the mother of Bharat, who was actually meant to be coronated as the king. But Dasharatha had decided that Ram should be the king. And not only Dasharatha, but everyone knew that Ram was the obvious king. He was loved by everyone. It was just natural. And even Kaikeyi, she was thrilled. She was so happy that Ram was going to become the king because everyone loved Ram so much. But Mantara, she was concerned about her position. She was concerned of what was going to happen to her if Ram became king. Because if Bharat became king and she became the maid, and she was the maidservant of the mother of the king, then there would be so much opulence, so much respect, so much prestige. And when Ram was going to be coronated as king, then it meant she might lose all of that. And because of this self-interest, she became fearful. And because she became fearful of loss, she began to think in a devious way. And by thinking in this devious way, she began to make phone calls. She began to speak in a very devious way. Deyato vishyapam sam sangas te shupajayate. Sangat sanjayate kama. Kama krodha vijayate. By contemplating in the mind, we develop attachment. From that attachment, lust, and from lust, anger. Anger leads to bewilderment of memory, loss of intelligence, and one falls down to the material platform. And Mantara, who was serving such a wonderful and great person, she began to speak to Kaikeyi in such a way to invoke and instill fear in her. She began to speak to her, trying to convince her that actually, if Ram becomes the king, you are going to be at loss. your position, your prestige, your honor, your value to Dasyarath will be minimized and you'll be nothing. This is the destructive power of gossip and negative speech. That her pure heart, day after day, hearing this conversation, eventually it became poisoned. And she eventually said to Mantra, "You're right. How can we stop it?" And Kaikeyi said, "Many, many years ago, Dasyarath gave you two boons, two benedictions. When you saved his life on the battlefield, you never took those, but now is the time. So you should tell Dasyarath that you want these two boons. And these two boons that you want is first, that Bharat is installed as the king, not Ram. And second is that Ram should be banished to the forest for 14 years. Kaikeyi said, "Okay." Now if I continue like this, we're going to be here for 4 hours. So I'm going to hit fast forward. Dasyarath enters the scene. Kaikeyi is in her sulking chamber, crying, and Dasyarath comes to her. And Dasyarath says, "My dear, what is wrong? How can I help you? How can I appease you?" Any man who has a relationship with a woman, and if you see her crying, you understand Dasyarath's mood. He's like, "Anything. Anything at all." And Kaikeyi was crying and crying and crying immediately. As soon as Dasyarath said this, she said, "Well, do you remember when you offered me those two benedictions, two boons?" And he said, "Yes, yes, anything." And she said, "Do you promise?" And he said, "Yes, I promise." And she said, "Okay, if you promise, then I will tell you what I want." And he said, "Anything, anything for you, Kaikeyi." And she said, "First, you can't install Ram as the prince regent, as king. You have to install my son, Bharat." Dasyarath was devastated. He thought, "How could you ask such a thing? How could you even speak this?" He was overwhelmed. But he thought, "Okay, if that's what you ask." And this was also in a time where if a person gives their word, then it actually means something. And Dasyarath, being a man of his word, being a saintly king, that he wouldn't go back on his word, so he promised anything. And he said, "Okay, so we'll install Bharat instead of Ram." And he thought, he was afraid to even ask, "What is the second thing you're going to ask for?" And she said, "You have to banish Ram to the forest for 14 years. This was too much for Dasyarath, and he fell to the ground unconscious, with tears pouring out of his eyes and his heart aching, thinking of the fact that he would be separated from Ram even for one moment, what to speak of 14 years. They called for Ram, and he came. And he entered the sulking chamber, and he saw Kaikeyi, and he saw his father unconscious on the floor in a puddle of tears. And he didn't know what to make of the situation. And he said, "Mother, mother, what? What is happening?" Dasyarath came to, and he saw Ram, and he became unconscious again. Kaikeyi began to explain to him, after taking permission from Dasarath, that I have asked your father for two boons, and he has assured me that he would grant them, but he is so weak that he can't do it. And Ram said, whatever my father has said, we will honor, whatever it is. So please tell me, what are these boons? What is it that has been asked for from my father? And Kaikeyi said to Ram that you will not be installed as the prince regent, as the future king. Bharat will be. And Ram immediately said, so be it. Imagine, just for a moment, that you're about to get that promotion you've been working so hard for. You're about to, it's the final exam of your masters, and you've worked so hard. And right at that moment, someone says, no. The boss says to you, I'm not going to give you the promotion, even though I've already told you you're going to get it. And he says, never mind. How do you feel? Happy? Fist clenches? Body starts to shake? Mind begins to run dramas of murder? Assault, at least insult. The tongue is hard to control. But Ram, in humility, he accepted that he is the servant of his father, and whatever his father has granted must be done, and without a moment's hesitation, he accepted. And he said, no problem. Then, Kaikeyi says, and you must be banished to the forest for 14 years. And Ram said, so be it. I shall leave immediately. Imagine. 14 years. I mean, most of us probably couldn't be in a forest for 14 minutes. 14 days? 14 months? 14 years. That's probably a very important phone call. He's going to have to leave to answer it. Yeah, what do we value? Please turn on your mobile phones so we get those important calls. I mean, Lord Ram going to the forest for 14 years isn't such a big deal. Anyway, I heard this story before. I know how it ends. I'm sure it was important. It's not correct for me to judge. But Lord Ram, in his humility, he just accepted. No problem. I'll do it immediately. And he did. He didn't respond. He didn't defend at all. He just humbly accepted. He didn't argue. I mean, Lord Ram was right, in case you didn't know. He should have been the prince regent. He should have become king. The whole thing was because Mantra was a wicked, evil person, and she poisoned the mind of Kaikeyi. Ram was right. Everyone would have stood behind Ram. Everyone would have defended Ram, 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 Ram. They wouldn't have said, Kaikeyi, Kaikeyi, Kaikeyi. He could have stood up and said, I'm not going anywhere, you crazy lady. Your mind has become polluted by this wicked mantra. I mean, this is what Lakshman would say. And Bharat later, also wanting to even disown his mother. But that's okay. They weren't the ones who were being under attacked. But Ram, he just accepted. Trinadapi Sunichena. Manifest within a personality who is so great. He exhibited humility. He wasn't willing to fight for that. If that was what divinity ordained, then so be it. I will accept it. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano. If this is what's coming to me, then I'll accept it and I'll tolerate it. And he didn't even turn his nose up at Kaikeyi. He still offered her respects. He was grateful to her. He wanted to leave immediately if that was her request. Even though her request was so diabolical, he was willing to adhere to it as if it was an order directly coming from the Supreme Lord. This was his humility. This is a quality that we need to develop. Maybe most of you already have this. Personally, I don't. It's a struggle. When things happen in life that we don't want, when tables are turned, and I thought we were going this way, and now we're going that way. And we become so frustrated and upset. But this is Trinadapi Sunichena. Torapi Suhishnuna. More tolerant than a tree. And Lord Ram was going to have an opportunity to learn a lot about the tolerance of trees. Because he was going on to spend 14 years in the forest. 14 years. He tolerated. Now, not so long ago, I was speaking with one person, and she was describing someone that she had a relationship with. And she said, I've been tolerating him for, ironically enough, she said, 14 years. I only just made the connection now. That's interesting. But the look on her face was not one of tolerance. And I said, I don't know if what you're experiencing is tolerance. I think in the modern world they call it suppression. And you're like a volcano with lots of lava boiling up underneath. And one of these days you're going to blow! And that's not tolerance. Tolerance is a process of digestion, a process of acceptance, a process of living with what happens to me and understanding how and why, and even if I don't understand how and why, philosophically being able to accept what has happened. Tolerance is like digestion. What we eat, we put in, and it should nourish us on some level. And we take from whatever we eat, and we get that nourishment, and whatever we don't need from it, we get rid of. We won't talk about that too much, but it's expelled. The waste is expelled. So like that, when something happens to us, we should be able to take it in, assimilated with knowledge, with philosophy, engaging the intelligence, the spiritual intelligence, and take something from it that nourishes us, and that which we don't need, the poison or the unwanted, we let it go. And then we move on, and we've actually grown from the experience. So instead of 14 years of growth, this person was sharing 14 years of heavy indigestion. And if anyone here knows, if you aren't digesting properly and stuff is getting hung up in here, then there's problems. Not just the immediate problem, but long-term problem. So much disease is caused by indigestion of the way life is. We don't learn, we don't assimilate, and just let it go and move on. It gets hung up. It gets caught up. And it turns and it twists inside of us for our entire life. To the point where sometimes you see people on the verge of death at those last moments, and they're still filled with resentment and upset. And you're thinking, this is not the right time to be upset and resentful. Because we can't digest. And Krishna consciousness is the process for helping us to understand by seeing Krishna's hand in everything that happens. Then we can really tolerate. And Lord Ram, he accepted. Again, he didn't. He could have gone to the forest for a year and said, anyway, what is it that they do in prisons that you get time off, a reduced sentence for time served, or time off for good behavior? And he could have come back and said, you know, that's it, I did a year, that's good enough. What do you expect, I'm a prince? But he did the whole 14 years. He did the whole time. And, you know, at least I haven't read yet in the Ramayana or any of the books where he was in the forest talking to Lakshman saying, this is stupid, I hate being in this forest. That's stupid, Kaikeyi. And if I ever get my hands on Mantra, I'm going to give her one to me. This is like torture and punishment. Why am I here? I don't deserve to be here. Why is this happening to me? Has anyone seen that in the Ramayana? I definitely haven't yet. Maybe it's there and they decided not to write it in. But I doubt it. Because Ram was properly tolerating the situation. And he was a king. And, you know, a prince, sorry. He was a prince, a kingly person. He didn't have to tolerate anything. He could have just said, and hundreds of thousands of people would have risen up and annihilated his obstacles. But he didn't. He tolerated. He went through the whole process. And he didn't complain, and he didn't moan, and he didn't blaspheme. He just got on with it. Torapi sahishnuna amanina manidena. We have two important qualities to cover in 5 minutes. Showing all respect to others. Lord Ram was ready to give respect even to Ravan. He was ready to shower his mercy even on Ravan. When Vibhishan came and offered himself up, everyone was worried, this may be a trick. We can't trust Vibhishan. But Vibhishan, the brother of Ravan, he submitted himself to Lord Ram and he said, I surrender myself to you. And Ram said, no, I can't turn him away. I have to accept him, even though he's the brother of my arch enemy. He said, I will give him shelter. And then Ram said, even if Ravan comes here now, the man who stole my wife and has caused me so much hardship in this life, even if he comes to me now, and he asks for refuge, I will immediately give it to him. This is respect. He wasn't holding a grudge. He was ready to offer that respect and appreciation to anyone. And why? Amanina, Manidena. Because he himself didn't necessarily consider himself to be a great person. Even though he was a king, he still considered himself the servant. Das Anudas Anudas. Even though he's the leader, the king of all of Ayodhya, still he considered himself a servant of the entire community, of the entire kingdom. That was Lord Ram's mood, which was also depicted in the end, that he would go out, hidden in disguise, just to hear what the people were saying about him. Not so that he could then, if they said something bad, he could jump out of disguise and say, ha ha! Because he wanted to know really what people thought, and if he was serving them properly, if his kingdom were happy. He was a servant. He didn't think, I am a king. He thought, I am a servant. And in this position of servant, I have been asked to be the king. Amanina, Manidena. The perfect example. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tuodapi Suhishnuna. Amanina Manidena Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have 2 minutes if anyone would like to answer their mobile phone. If anyone has any question or comment or correction. Yes, Prabhu. There was a microphone somewhere. I don't know. Let's see. There you go.
That was a very, very an interesting way in which you interpreted a very important story. Do you have a favorite part of that that you could elaborate on yourself, that's inspired you regarding the story of Ramachandra?
Actually, my favorite part of the pastime is when Jatayu tries to fight Robin. Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan Ki. Thank you all very much for coming.
His Grace Chaitanya Prabhu Ki. So now we're gonna ask everyone to stand nicely, peacefully. We're gonna have Sandhya Arati. Stand.